book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Certainly we are thankful. Service this morning. Good singing this morning. Tell you what, I don't know of many churches that has the kind of talent that Bethel has. We thank God for you and appreciate all that you do. We appreciate you coming out again this evening. A lot of folks are out of town. We appreciate those that set and prepared the table this evening. And we praise the Lord for that and for you doing that for the church. God bless you in that. If you would stand with us tonight as we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We want to begin in verse number 23. This is Paul writing here. Now, he was not there the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was beginning to go through the Lord's Supper there with his disciples, but according to verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Interested tonight in this thought, very briefly, before we have time for the Lord's table or communion service. It is the resurrection and the Lord's table. We're doing this today on Easter, on the first day of the week, which is the day that we celebrate that the Lord Jesus Christ got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And you may say, "Preacher, you're a little bit backwards. You should have done the Lord's Supper before this." But I feel like it fits tonight perfectly with the resurrection. And there's some scripture that's going to teach us why. Let's pray. Lord, we ask God you'd show us and teach us your word. I pray you'd help us tonight to preach in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, I pray, Father, for each one that's present tonight, that they would take and apply thy truth unto their lives. Lord, that we might not sin against you tonight. Lord, I pray, God, you'd touch each one in this place and help us, Father, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The resurrection, that's the day Jesus bodily got up from the old tomb there. Now, I know a lot of preachers that don't believe Jesus bodily arose. They believe he spiritually arose, but his body didn't get up. Well, if his body didn't get up, pray tell, where's it at? I believe anybody that believes that Jesus' body did not resurrect or was not raised, I don't think are saved. And there's preachers that believe that and stand in their pulpits. Baptist preachers stand in their pulpits in Buncombe County that preach that. Probably going to listen to me by way of the internet or by way of CD or tape. And they're going to get mad and write to me. But I've got some verses for you tonight, friend, that I want you to see. The resurrection is a central theme in the gospel. In chapter 15, we're going to study a few verses. In chapter 15, verse number 3, Paul says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Hear me, the resurrection is the central theme of the gospel. Christ didn't just die, but he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised again. That is the gospel message. And without a resurrection, my friend, there is no gospel message. I want you to see in salvation, in the book of Romans, chapter number 10, you're not going to be saved if you don't believe that Jesus Christ arose bodily out of that grave. I don't believe a man will be saved. So the resurrection is not only the central theme of the gospel, but the resurrection is the central theme in salvation. Now, don't put me on the clock yet. I am just idling, okay? We're building something. Bill, trying to build a thought here. In Romans chapter 9, verse number 9. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. I'm sorry. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." You've got to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Well, preacher, what's the difference between him being raised spiritually and being raised bodily? That means he only did it halfway. And I don't serve a halfway God. Amen. He does it all the way. And he raised him bodily. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Take away, my friend, the resurrection, and you don't have what's necessary for salvation. It's not there. In fact, the resurrection is not only the central theme, my friends, of the gospel or of salvation, but is the central theme in the ordinances of the church, which are two. There are two ordinances of the church. You may say, preacher, there's three, there's five, there's ten. There's two ordinances of the church. The first being baptism. Now, these ordinances are not necessary for your salvation, okay? But I believe if a man gets saved and the Lord affords him or allows him time, that he will follow the Lord in these ordinances. I believe that. The first being Romans chapter 6, baptism. Read with me in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You see that? Baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When that candidate that's been saved is baptized, that person, they stand there in the water. They are lowered down into the water, meaning they are buried with him in death. Meaning, my friend, they have died. And when that person is raised again, meaning that they, my friend, have identified themselves with him, that they were buried with him in his death and raised with him in his resurrection, as God has saved our soul. And he's taken us that was dead in trespasses and sin and raised us again. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Read this in verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. One of these days, this old body I have gonna die. They're going to lower it down into the ground. Now, don't worry about me. My soul will have moved on, and I'm home in heaven. Amen. And I want you to know this old body will be buried on this earth. But at the rapture, at the day of resurrection, this old body's going to come forth out of the ground. Amen. And it's going to be reunited. Hallelujah. Just as Jesus was raised again, so will you and I that are saved be raised again. If we've been buried with him in death, we'll be raised with him in resurrection. In other words, what he's saying here in verse number 5, we shall be like him. Boy, there's a thought that starts working on my mind about being like him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So you see, the resurrection is a central theme in baptism. But it is also a central theme in the Lord's Supper or in the Lord's table. What do you mean, preacher? I'll go back with me over here where we were reading in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And while you turn there, I want to give you another thought in Matthew 26. Now, you don't have to turn to Matthew 26. I'll read it to you. But in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, Paul says, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Wait a minute, preacher. It didn't say that you're showing his resurrection. You're showing his death. Oh, my friend, if he's dead, how's he going to come? Bible says, till he come. Somebody says, don't say nothing about his. I've heard this argument. Don't say nothing about his resurrection. Well, how's he going to come again if he's dead? Hey, he's been raised again. Hallelujah. You're showing his death, amen. And you're also showing his resurrection because you're looking for him to come back as he's promised.
Amen.
What a blessing. He says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to all of them, saying, drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now listen to this. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." If he's dead, how's he going to drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom? He's not dead. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. He's a resurrected Savior. Amen. And we can know that as a central theme of the gospel. We can know that as a central theme of salvation. We can know that as a central theme of baptism. We can know that as a central theme of the communion, of the Lord's table, of the Lord's supper, of ordinances of the church. Do you see that? But there's something over there in Romans jumped out and grabbed me. Said we'll be like Him. We buried with Him like it in death. We're going to be raised with Him like Him in His resurrection. Something about we'll be like Him tonight just jumps out and grabs me. And I want to see it in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We're trying to build a thought now about the resurrection and the Lord's table, trying to tie the two together. Look here in 1 John chapter 3. Look what the writer says. The Holy Spirit lays on John's heart to record. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him, and we'll see Him as He is. There's some things, friend, that we're going to have some similarities to our Lord. Buried with Him in His death and raised with His resurrection. Let's see this truth about His resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Preacher, you're going too fast. I ain't going fast enough, friend. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 20. Let's see something about His resurrection. That's point number one about we shall be like Him, His resurrection. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You see, He's the first one to be raised again with a glorified body, one that death can't have hold on anymore. Ooh, preacher, I beg to differ. What about Jairus' daughter and what about Lazarus? My friend, they weren't raised with a glorified body. They were going to have to taste of death again. I remember they said to Lazarus, loose him and let him go, because the grave clothes still bound him. But when our Lord was raised, amen, with a glorified body, the linen cloths and the napkin were still laying there. We're going to go deep now. We want you to put your thinking caps on just a little bit. Let's note this. Over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now, let's stay right where you are. Read verse 21. But since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. In other words, Christ was the first fruits. That was the first time period. And there's going to be another time period when folks are raised. At the rapture, the dead in Christ will be raised. Amen? In His own order, read with me, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read about His coming, about the rapture, about that resurrection, amen, of those that believed in Christ, trusted Him as their Savior, and are up here on these graveyards, their bodies are laying there right now. Read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the resurrection is the central theme of the rapture. Amen. That died and rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, you can try to hold them down if you want to. You can put the steel vault on them. You can put gravel on them. You can put concrete on them. You can set a helicopter on them for all I care. But when Jesus says, come forth, my bride, bless God, out there they're going to come. You're not going to stop them. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hear this truth. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His own power. Hey, the same God that raised Jesus will be the same God that raised us. We'll be like Him in resurrection. He arose from the dead, and hallelujah, we're going to rise from the dead. I like that, don't you? Now, that's the resurrection. What about the rewards of a new body? Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Yes, I know we're scattered. I remember as a young boy growing up at Hooper's Creek Baptist Church, Brother Lawrence Rhodes was my pastor. He's still the pastor there. And a lot of times he'd get in the pulpit and he'd say, I don't have an outline tonight, but God's given me a thought, and get back, because it's going to be a double-barrel shotgun. And it's just going to go where it may. It's just going to end up where it may go. And I was raised on that kind of preaching. He had a backbone filled with the Holy Ghost. And some of that still runs through me, all right? Philippians 3:21, speaking about the rewards of our new body, we shall be like Him. Philippians 3:21, let's read verse 20 as well. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He says here that we're going to have a body, we're going to be rewarded with a body that's like His body. Amen. Preacher, I don't know about that. I just read it to you. You can go home and read it again. Says He's going to change our body and it'll be like unto His glorious body. Now I want to study the Lord's body for just a little bit after He was raised again. Now, hear me, when we go to heaven, there's no more death, there's no more sorrow, there's no more crying, there's no more pain. The former things are done away with, behold, all things are made new. We've got a new body. Have you ever had a headache? You ever had a stomach ache? Cancers and strokes and heart attacks? Bless God, hospitals and all these graveyards will, hallelujah, be done away with one day. We're going to have a new body, one that time has no hold on. One that death, sorrow, pain, amen, cannot touch anymore. One disease no longer is ridden. We're going to have a new body like His body. That's what He promised us. Look here with me in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to try to preach tonight things I don't understand, but things I believe. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. I can't explain it. I just believe it. Let's see His body. Some things about His body. I think we're going to have a body like His, don't you? You better not shake your head no at me. I just read it to you. If you disagree with what I just said, you're disagreeing with the Word of God. We have a body like His body, amen. In Luke 24:39, this is after His resurrection. He says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. You go tell that to that theologic crowd down there, all them theologians that say He got up as a spirit. Jesus just said, hey, a spirit don't have flesh and bones as I have. He said, look at me, handle me. Here's my hands, here's my feet, I'm flesh and bones. Wait a minute, preacher. He got up and walked out of the tomb. Yes, He did. But He's got flesh and bones. That's His glorified body. Right. We're going to have a body like His glorified body. Amen. We're going to have flesh and bones. But flesh, my friends, that can't decay. Right. Flesh that'll never know disease. Right. How's that possible? I don't know. But God's going to do it. Listen, you realize it's been 2,000 plus years since Jesus died on the cross and then got up from the grave? His body looks the same today as it did then. It ain't aged a bit. And neither will yours or mine as the ages roll on. We're going to have flesh and bones. Read this, verse 41. While they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, have you here any meat? They gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. He took it and did eat before them. He's got flesh and bones. And look, He's eating fish. I like some fish, don't you? I had some fish just in the last few weeks. Good stuff. Had honeycomb. Oh, one of my favorite things is old sourwood honey, amen. I like to eat the very comb it comes. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ with a glorified body has flesh and bones, and He's eating. Well, you know what you and I are going to eat? You ever heard of the marriage supper of the Lamb? What do you do at a supper? Hallelujah. Here, what we've known to eat, and we're going to be eating there. The Bible says the Lord Himself will gird Himself, and He's going to serve us, and we're going to partake. We're going to have a glorified body that is going to eat. Why, tell me, it's going to be a tree of life with 12 manner of fruits. I'm going to pick some of that and gnaw on it for a little while. Amen. We're going to be able to, the Lord was able to eat, and so will we with a glorified body. Look down here in verse 31. Down here in verse 31. Now there had been Cleopas and this other disciple traveling on the Emmaus Road, and Jesus was with them there. You remember the story? And they didn't know just exactly who Jesus was. But finally, the Bible says, verse 31, their eyes were open, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. Just poof, He was gone. Now how can flesh and bones do that? I have no idea. But He is one with a glorified body that's able to have supernatural transport. He left quicker than a helicopter or a jet plane could take off. And you and I are going to be the same way. Ooh, preacher, I disagree. Listen, you go ahead and disagree all you want to, but it won't hinder my joy. I'm going to have supernatural jets under me. I'm going to be able to go from the new heaven to the new earth, just like that. And into the new Jerusalem, just like that. I ain't going to have no rocket ship. I ain't going to have a space shuttle. I won't have to be guided in by NASA. The Lord's going to give us supernatural transport, just like He's done for His Son. He just vanished out of their sight. Well, preacher, I think that means He hid behind a bush. Well, if that's your methods of supernatural travel, God bless you. But I plan on moving a little quicker than that. Amen? That's right. He has supernatural transport. Look over here with me in John chapter 20. Let's see something else about His body. There's a lot of things about His body. Realize that His body still has the nail scars there. I think they're still there. Preacher, I disagree. I don't think a glorified body will have nail scars. His will be different there because I think He, my friend, will let us know how He was wounded for our transgressions for all of eternity, and we'll worship and praise Him, and we'll look at those scars in His hand and thank Him and worship Him for all of eternity. In John chapter 20, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, in other words, that's that same day the Lord rose from the grave. That evening, they were having a service there, I guess, and it was kind of dead. They were down and depressed because they thought Jesus was dead, and they were so despondent and downtrodden. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now, I believe they've probably, for fear of the Jews, locked the doors so nobody can get in there. And I can't read where this time Jesus knocked. No, they were His own. They were His disciples. He didn't just knock. He walked right through the doors. Whoop. Now, He's flesh and bones. Amen. I'll try it. I'll show you. It don't work real good with this old natural flesh. But with a glorified body, amen, we're going to walk right through locked doors. You're looking at me like you just ain't getting out of bed. Well, I told you this morning, when He got up from the grave, amen, that the stone was still rolled in front of it. He just walked right out through solid mass. Right out of a hewn out rock tomb. Just walked right out. And because we're still in our own natural flesh, the angel came and rolled the stone away so that we could see He is not here, but is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. You wouldn't be able to go in your natural flesh if the stone was still there. You'd walk right into it like I walked into that door, and you might get hurt, knock yourself out. But the stone was rolled away, so you can see that Jesus is not there. He had already arisen, amen, and walked right out of solid mass. Your glorified body will be one of flesh and bones, one that craves fish and honeycomb, or able to eat of the tree of life, one, my friend, that's got capable of supernatural transport, and one that's capable of walking right through solid mass. Amen. Preacher, you're crazy. It's in the Word of God. Amen. The Bible said our bodies would be like unto His glorious body. Right. I believe that. Amen. Say, preacher, I think you're reaching. Well, I want to say this. We've seen the resurrection, and we'll be like Him in the resurrection. We'll be like Him with the rewards of our new body. We'll be like Him, number three, in recognition. Now, we're not going to look just like Him, but we're going to have features. Now, let me say this. Preacher, when I go to heaven, I know I'm saved on my way there. But when I get there, will they know me? Will I know anybody? I get asked that a lot. Might be somebody here tonight. You wondered about that. Let's study. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says this. In other words, in heaven, will we know each other? Will I know you as Jeff? And will I know you as Tommy? Will I know you as Shane, as Randy, as Mike? Will I know you as that? I believe we will. Well, yeah, preacher, that's because you knew each other on earth. Let's think about it. Paul said in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 13, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part." I mean, there's people, I don't know their names. I didn't know everybody that was at service this morning. I had to be introduced to a few people that came visiting today. I didn't know them. I'd never met them. Amen? It says, "I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." In other words, Paul says, when I get there, I'm going to be known as Paul. And people's going to know me that never met me. And I'm going to know people that I never met. Preachers say, "You lost your mind." Well, Matthew 17 just jumps out tonight. Matthew 17. Preacher, how will I be able to know these things? Matthew 17. Upon the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus took who? Peter, James, and John. Those three. They go up there, and I heard Kenneth Ridings preaching on this. He said, how come just those three went? Were those the troublemakers? And he's trying to keep his eye on them? Huh? I maybe invited them all, and these are the only three that cared enough to go. Amen. Could have been, I don't know. But look, when they get up there, he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Now, wait a minute. How did Peter know Elias, and how did he know Moses? I can't see where they gave him no form. Hey, Peter, come here. I want you to meet somebody. This is Moses, who you read about, and this is Elijah. Notice, Moses had already died. Bible says so. And Elijah had been transported, had he not? Hey, man. In other words, he had been kind of like what will be raptured. And they had some kind of flesh and bones, and they were known as they were known. But Peter, James, and John had never met them. But they knew who they were. You mean when I get to that city that Paul's going to know that my name is Darren? That's what I'm telling you. And I'm going to know Paul. I'm going to know Moses. I'm going to know Elijah. That's what the Bible says. We'll be known as we were known. And we're going to know, we won't even need to be introduced. He won't have to go around and say, "This is James, and this is John, this is Thomas, this is Bartholomew." We'll know each other. And you know what? We're going to know our Lord. And our Lord, He's going to still know us. What a blessing, amen. Now, there are folks that will argue this cause. Can I give you three scriptures to argue the cause? Let me have a debate with myself. Preacher, if that's true, what about John chapter 20, verse 13? Now, let's just debate with myself. If what you're telling me is true, we'll be known as we are known. It's obvious that Peter, James, and John knew Moses and Elijah, and they'd never met before. It's obvious they lived 2,000 years apart or further. I don't know, I understand it, but I believe it. But what about that morning that Jesus arose from the dead? Mary, she supposed that he was a gardener. "Woman," he said, "why weepest thou?" She said unto him, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him." She thought he was a gardener. Now, if in our resurrection bodies we're going to know as we were known, how come she didn't know the Lord? Be careful, I'll make sense to you in a minute. John chapter 21, verse number 4. The disciples have gone out fishing again. Jesus is still with a glorified, resurrected body. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I mean, it was Jesus on the shore, glorified, resurrected body. And those disciples were fishing, looked over there and saw somebody standing there, but they didn't know him for who he was. Preacher, I think I'm beginning to disagree with what you said a minute ago. Oh, I just want to get you listening. People's going to refute things. I'm going to get letters by internet. I'm just going to go ahead and kill it before we get started. What about Luke chapter 24, verse 13? We're getting ready to stop. Hang on. Luke 24, verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. In other words, it was about 60 furlongs would be about 3 miles or so. And they talked together with all these, things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with him. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Here's Cleopas and another disciple. They're traveling on the Emmaus Road, talking about all the things that's happened. And Jesus, supernatural travel, whoop, just pulls right up on them. There he goes with them, and they're talking with him, and they don't recognize it's Jesus. Mary didn't recognize him. The disciples didn't recognize him. And Cleopas and this other disciple didn't recognize him. But the key phrase is, the Bible says their eyes were holding. In other words, God, the Lord Jesus Christ specifically restricted their knowledge for some reason. What do you think it was? Probably to teach them some lesson to somehow increase their faith along this earth. That's why he was not known to them. But when we get to heaven, we'll be there because we've been saved by grace through faith. Our faith won't have to be increased. It'll be perfect faith, amen. There'll be no more trials and tribulations, amen. We'll be there with him and we'll know him. There will need no more of this restriction stuff. The restrictor plate's hoss has been taken off. I like it, don't you? And we'll know him. Now let me say this. There are times on this earth, if you ain't careful, here you are minding your own business. I've come to church, just coming in, just kind of didn't think about it a whole lot. It was time for service, and I just come to church. I guess I'm the only one that's done that. Didn't come in prayed up, studied up, didn't come in ready to worship. I just come into church because it was what I needed to do. I come into service, went to the prayer room, and the Lord done showed up. And I felt like I done walked into something that was bigger than me. And boy, it got on me. And I recognized him. You know, there's been likewise times that he's just pulled up right there in the car with me and showed up. And I've had to pull off the side of the road and run around. People thought, there's got to be something wrong with this car. He's running around the car trying to get it to be repaired. No, the Lord is there, and I just had one of them spells. It happens sometimes. He just pulls up when I was minding my own business. Here's Cleopas and that other disciple. They talking about the things that's happened. Boy, ain't terrible about that prophet Jesus. He's dead. It's been 3 days. You know what Jesus told them? He told them time and time again on the third day he'd arise. That's what he said. But I want you to look with me down here, all the way down with about verse number 29. Go to verse 27. Jesus beginning at the Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. When did they know him? At the breaking of bread. You know, tonight in this communion service, it's about two things, the cup and the bread. It might just be you strolled in here just going through the motions tonight, but the Lord done showed up. Kind of helped you a little bit in the scriptures. And I pray tonight that he'd reveal himself, that you might know him, my friend. He'd reveal himself to you more as we get ready to have this time of fellowship together. But be careful. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as I close, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. What's all that mean? Be careful. If you partake of this tonight and you're not really a Christian, you'd be guilty of the Lord's blood. And my friend, the Bible says many are sickly and many sleep. In other words, many people's been put into an early grave because they came into a service and they thought they'd just go through the motions and partake of this table and took it lightly. And for that, God whipped them with some kind of judgment, made them sickly. Or my friend, he may have put a cancer on them even more sickly, or he may have put them in an early grave because they misjudged discerning what this table means. I will say tonight, I will say to you tonight, I'm not here to examine you. A lot of people come to church to examine one another, what they wear or what they don't wear. Yeah, what they do or what they don't do. I'm not here to examine you. I'm here to, first of all, worship Jesus. And when I worship Jesus and when I look at Him, I see that reflection of myself, and it makes me sick to see myself and my ineptness and my feebleness and my sin, my folly. My job is to examine myself to say, do I have some ill feeling? Do I have some grudge or some sin or something that I've done or said that I'd better get right with God about before I partake of this table? Boy, it's been times when I come into this time for the Lord's Supper, I had to hit that altar. Maybe I hadn't prayed and got everything under the blood like I should. Then again, maybe there's been times where I said, I'm going to check up. There might be something in there, like old Job said, there might be something in there that I know not of, and I want to get that out. I want to get right with God about it. Friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I don't want to see any one of you get sick or have death, a premature death. Because tonight, this is a holy time. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. Communion means we're having fellowship with Him. How can we have fellowship with a holy God if we're in sin? Now I'm telling you, don't you hide it in the refrigerator of your home somewhere or in your heart somewhere. He knows all about it. Your neighbor, your preacher, your neighbor, your friend, your family may not know, but your Savior knows, my friend. And you are here to examine yourself before you partake. I'm going to ask every one of you if you would stand. There are times on this earth we don't recognize when He's present. But let me tell you this evening. He said, where there are two or three gathered in My name, there am I in the midst. He is here tonight. And He's watching you. And He's watching me. You'd bow your heads. If someone come to the instruments, you'd play softly. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart to play. I need y'all to play some music tonight. There might be some folks. There's already some folks moving. Step out and say, you know, Jesus, well, I thank You for the resurrection. Thank You for that new body I'm going to have. What a blessing. But while I'm on this earth, boy, there's some things. I want to get under the blood because it's a holy time we're getting ready to enter into. And I want to judge myself. Maybe you might have to confess that you've judged others. You better get right about that. If you've gossiped, I don't know what your private pet sin may be, but whatever it may be, you better give that to the Lord. Folks are moving all around. Is there anyone else you need to come? We're going to pray together.